Hebrews from chapters 5 through 7. We read of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read of how that priesthood is prefigured by one called Melchizedek. We read towards the end of chapter 6 of how Christ has entered into that within the veil. He's entered into the holiest place, having laid down his life for sacrifice for sin, having shed his blood. We read that the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He entered into the holy place. He took his blood as the priest who took the offering of the sacrifice. But this priest, Jesus, was not after the order of Levi. He was not a Levitical priest under the covenant of the law. But here was another priest of another order, the order of Melchizedek, with another covenant. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. There are a few references in the scriptures to this king, Melchizedek. But he emerges on the pages of scriptures in Genesis and chapter 14, which we've read. Following this battle of the kings, these kings in the plain, king of Sodom, king of Gomorrah, kings of all these other nations, all at war. And here, following the war, Abraham's nephew Lot is taken captive. And Abraham, with God on his side, delivers Lot from his captors. And having delivered him, this king Melchizedek, out of nowhere it seems, comes and meets Abraham and blesses him. Read in Genesis 14. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. He comes from nowhere. Comes unto Abraham after Abraham has rescued his nephew following this slaughter amongst the kings of this world. And this king of Salem comes and blesses him, bringing bread and wine. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now what an encounter this is. And what a one this is. Melchizedek, of whom we know very little here in this passage in Genesis, but of whom God tells us more later in the scriptures, particularly here in Hebrews, of just who this Melchizedek is. why he met Abraham, and of whom he is a picture. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. This king is set forth unto us in the scriptures as one who just appears upon the scene. He has, as it were, no father or mother, no descent. He comes, as it were, into the scene of this battle, into this scene of murder, into the darkness of this world, and he meets his chosen Abraham and blesses him. As such, he's a picture of Christ, the eternal God, without father, without mother, without descent, the Son of God, who has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but abideth a priest continually. Christ came into this world from eternal glory, the one without beginning or end, and he came into this battle scene below, and he came unto his own, his chosen, his Abraham's, and he blessed them. He came bearing bread and wine. He came seeking his own wherever they were, surrounded by enemies, and he blessed them. Has this Melchizedek come unto you in the darkness? Come unto you surrounded by your enemies. Come unto you who face death and hatred and enmity from the world, from your own fallen heart, from sin, and from the righteous judgment of God against it. Has he come unto you in the midst of battle, bringing bread and wine, and bless you. This Melchizedek has a name which is by interpretation King of Righteousness, and he is also the King of Salem, Jerusalem, which by interpretation is King of Peace. He is a King of Righteousness and a King of Peace. And he brings forth in his blessing bread and wine as a picture of that righteousness which brings forth that peace. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation King of Righteousness, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, King of Salem, King of Peace, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. The priest of the Most High God. Bread and wine from the King of Salem, now Jerusalem. A figure, a picture of Christ, of Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the battle scene of this world, who came into the darkness and was led by his enemies to Jerusalem and was led outside the city of Jerusalem and crucified outside. Christ was slain at Jerusalem. The true King of Salem, the true King of righteousness, was slain outside Jerusalem. And this king, when he was slain, laid down his body in the place of his people and shed his blood to wash away their sins. This priest of the Most High God offered himself a sacrifice and brought forth both bread and wine. Bread and wine. Because when he was slain, he brought forth for his people the righteousness of God in order that he should bring them to peace with God. This priest, this Melchizedek, came from the God of peace, as Hebrews 13:20 refers to him, into a world of war, a world of violence, a world of hatred, a world of sin. The God of peace sent his Son, the King of Peace, to deliver his people and make them in him to be the righteousness of God. Psalm 76:2 says, "In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion." In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. This King of Salem, this King of Peace, has his tabernacle, as it were, in Salem, where he laid down his life that he might take it again and dwell not in Jerusalem below, but in Jerusalem above with those for whom he died. His dwelling place is in Zion. Zion. I draw your attention to this King of Salem, this King of Peace, this morning, because in Leviticus we have considered again four of the five sacrifices and the laws concerning them. And the final sacrifice, the peace offering, is considered in Leviticus 7 from verse 11 through to 21, the peace offering. And the peace offering is a picture of this Christ who offered himself that he should make peace for his people. This priest, this Melchizedek, this priest after the order of Melchizedek, this Christ, this Jesus, offered himself as a peace offering for his people. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten, it shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Now we see that Christ, Jesus, our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, is both the King of righteousness and the King of peace. And like Melchizedek, he comes unto his people bringing forth bread and wine. Because he as the priest is the one that makes the peace offering. And that peace offering is both flesh and blood. Of it shall he offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. Jesus, this Melchizedek, sprinkled the blood of the peace offering which he offered for his people. He sprinkled upon the mercy seat his own blood. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. He shed his blood and he offered his flesh. He brought forth bread in his flesh and wine in his blood. And his flesh was, as it were, offered and eaten on the day of his sacrifice. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. None shall be left to the third day. There shall be nothing unfinished by the third day. Because Christ cried out on the day he was slain, after 3 hours in the darkness, "It is finished." And on the third day, he rose from the grave without one spot or blemish of sin in him or in his people. These instructions regarding the peace offering are so stringent because God's demands of righteousness are so stringent. And Christ took away the sin of his people and washed away their sins in his blood on the day he was slain as the perfect fulfillment of this peace offering. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. For an offering. But one thing we note here in this section in Leviticus, which concerns these five offerings again, and speaks of the laws of these offerings and the instructions to the priests in how they may be offered. One thing we note here is that the order has been changed. We noted earlier in Leviticus that the peace offering was the third of the five offerings. It stood in the midst It stood in the midst of two offerings on one side and two offerings on the other side. And it was very much seen from the offerings on the one side and the offerings on the other side that, as it were, the offerings of the flesh were on one side, the burnt offering, the meat offering, and the offerings of the blood, the trespass offering, the sin offering, were on the other. And in between was the peace offering. Because in this we see the figure of the flesh and the blood, the bread and the wine, with the peace that is brought forth by them in their midst. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. The king of peace brought forth bread and wine. But here in chapter 6 and 7, we see that the peace offering is left to last. We see the burnt offering, the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and then the peace offering. Why the change of order? Simply because the peace offering is the consequence, as it were. The fruit, the culmination, the pinnacle of the offerings which God demands. Offer according to God's righteousness, and peace is the consequence. Peace is the fulfillment. The peace offering is a figure of it, is an offering to bring forth peace, but the fruit of it is peace. And the fruit of all these offerings, the ultimate aim of these offerings, is to bring forth peace, is to bring a guilty, a fallen, a wicked people unto peace with their God, is to reconcile these two divided parties, is to bring, through this Melchizedek, a warring, hating, murderous, sinful people into union with a holy and a righteous and a perfect God. There can be no unity whilst there is sin and whilst the guilt of their sins remain. But when the blessing of the bread and the wine is applied by this Melchizedek, then there is nothing but peace. Peace. It's the pinnacle, the summit, the high point. Righteousness wrought. Peace is the result. Why does this Melchizedek, as king of Salem, illustrate these two things? Because as a king of righteousness, he is also a king of peace. It is righteousness which brings a people to peace with God. There can be no peace without righteousness. And where there is righteousness, there will be peace. This Melchizedek could not be a king of righteousness without also being the king of Salem. And the king which comes from Salem must bear the name of Melchizedek, for he must be a king of righteousness. He must. It's inevitable. He would be an impostor if he was not. If he came from Salem but was not a king of righteousness, he would be an impostor, a liar. And if he is a king of righteousness, he must, as Psalm 76 told us, have his tabernacle in Salem and his dwelling place in Zion. David knew this king. David knew this king. He'd seen this king. He'd seen the blessing of this king. This Melchizedek had come unto David and blessed him. As the priest of the Most High God, he'd come unto him and he brought forth for David bread and wine. David knew the one that Abraham saw. David knew that blessing. And in Psalm 110 he speaks of him. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. What a psalm. Now clearly when David was moved to write this psalm by the Spirit of God, he had the facts of Melchizedek and his meeting with Abraham and the battles of the kings in his mind. But he saw more than that historical event. He saw through all of that their spiritual reality. The Lord, the Father, God, said unto my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We saw Abraham's enemies. We saw the kings in battle. We saw how they took Lot captive. And we saw the victory over his enemies which God granted unto Abraham, and how Melchizedek blessed him. And the Lord says unto Christ, Melchizedek, sit thou at mine right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Christ can bless his people because his enemies, their enemies, will be his footstool. And when he laid down his life upon the cross, he ensured that they would be his footstool. We may not see them at his foot now, but there comes a day when this world is no more, when every enemy of Christ will bow the knee and will be his footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, for that is this king of Salem's dwelling place. That's where he reigns. And that is where he sits and reigns today. From whence the rod of his strength is sent forth, he sends forth his gospel, the power of God unto salvation, into the midst of the darkness, by which he comes in the gospel to his people, pictured by Abraham, bringing forth bread and wine, and a blessing of peace through the righteousness of God, which he brought forth for them at the cross. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. He does. Abraham was in the midst of his enemies, and this king, this Melchizedek, came unto him and blessed him. And blessed him with that knowledge of victory over all his enemies. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham's enemies were delivered into his hand because of that one who he met. Because of that king of Salem, that king of righteousness, that Melchizedek that came under him. Because of what that Melchizedek did for Abraham, he would rule over his enemies. Because Melchizedek, Christ, rules in the midst of his enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In this gospel day, in the day of the gospel, when the gospel comes in power unto them, when the Spirit of God opens their ears to hear and opens their eyes to see, and the power of God floods into their hearts and breaks down the hardness of the heart and breaks down all their barriers and all their resistance and all their hatred of God. Breaks it all down, breaks down the walls around the city of their heart. When God, as it were, comes around their Jericho and blows the trumpets of his gospel and the walls of their hearts come crashing down. Then they cry out, and they cry out for mercy, and they cry out for joy, and they cry out unto a Saviour crucified for them. And they say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that people like you and I, hardened sinners, who are brought by God to hear the gospel in power, that people are made willing in the day of his power. Have you heard that gospel? Has it come unto you in a day of power? Has it come unto you in power? Are you amongst that people that he calls thy people? Christ's people. That people for whom Christ died. That people for whom he came. That people whom he would bless. Are you amongst the Abrahams and Davids? Chosen, elected of God unto salvation, unto whom this Melchizedek comes, bringing forth bread and wine, under whom he utters a blessing. If you are, then that gospel will come in power. And no matter how hard your heart is, no matter how resistant and apathetic you may be, no matter how far you may try to run away, ultimately the barriers will be broken down. Ultimately the walls around your Jericho will come crashing down. And you will be willing in the day of his power. You whose will was set against him will be willing. It's not an act of your free will. It's not the fruit of your decision. It won't come as a result of you accepting a Jesus into your heart. It will come at the power of God by his gospel. But you who were once so unwilling will be made willing in the day of his power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, what a thing to say of his son. What power his son had. What victory he has over his enemies. What blessing he has brought unto those who once hated him. He brings forth bread and wine. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Like those kings who were at war that Abraham saw. Yet that Melchizedek came unto Abraham and blessed him. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Where are you? Are you as one of those kings who battled? Are you dwelling like Lot in the city of Sodom, serving the king of Sodom? Or has God delivered you and brought you unto one called Melchizedek? In Hebrews, from chapters 5 to 7, we read the name of Melchizedek 9 times. We read there, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and of not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This people had forgotten the glory of the gospel and the glory of their Saviour, who came not of the order of Levi, who came not to lead them by works unto God, but came by the order of Melchizedek to offer himself as a sacrifice for their sins, to bring forth bread and wine, to deliver them from that law which they could not keep, to deliver them from their striving to work and to please God, to deliver them from that futile inability to please God and ever bring forth a righteousness which God could receive of them. The folly of man is that he hears something of the gospel and forever brings in his own works and his own strength and his own striving to bring forth righteousness. But we read not that Abraham gave bread and wine to Melchizedek. We read nothing of Abraham giving something of his own righteousness to this king. But we read that Melchizedek gave Abraham bread and wine. Melchizedek did it all. Melchizedek did everything necessary to make Abraham in Christ to be the righteousness of God. Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He simply looked. He simply received. He simply saw this Melchizedek and knew of whom he was. Knew who he was. Knew what he would do. Knew what the bread and wine meant. Knew that God had done it all by grace. Knew that because of the righteousness which this Melchizedek, this priest, brought forth by the sacrifice which he offered, that he should be brought to peace with God. Chapter 7, in speaking of Melchizedek, speaks of these orders and speaks of the necessity for a change of the law. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Then why, oh why do you keep going back to the law as though the law will make you perfect? Why, believer, having been brought to Christ, this Melchizedek, do you return to that law, which Hebrews makes plain here, made nothing perfect? As if that law is that in which you are going to walk. When your priest who has delivered you, your priest who has brought you to peace, your priest who has made you righteous, came after another order of priesthood, and he came with another law. Yes, you are under law to God, but not the law of Moses. You're delivered from it. You're under the law of Christ. You're under grace, not under law. You're in the new covenant, not the old covenant. You're wed to Christ, not, as Romans 7 tells us, to the law. This Melchizedek, this Jesus, was made surety of a better covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, this Jesus, because he continueth ever, have an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this Jesus did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. This Melchizedek offered an offering of righteousness, the consequence of which is peace. Perfect peace. Never to be taken away. Never to be taken away. Following his encounter with Melchizedek in chapter 14 of Genesis, we read that wonderful account of the blessing of Abraham in chapter 15, and the deep sleep into which he is put. The deep sleep in which there's a sacrifice divided in two, and in which Abraham, as it were, is in the midst of the sacrifice, in the midst of the death by which God shows him the death of his Saviour, who brought forth righteousness for him. He was in the midst as it were, with the bread on one side and the wine on the other side. And God says to him in that darkness, as a result, in verse 15, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Because of this death, because of this Melchizedek. We read in Leviticus 7 of the peace offerings and of the cakes which are made to be consumed by the priests. Cakes consumed, taken within, but sweet to the taste. For this righteousness must be within. It must be consumed. And if it is, the fruit of it is peace. And peace is sweet to the taste like a cake. And this peace must be within. The love of God, the love of Christ must be shed abroad in our heart. It's one thing to know of it in the head. It's one thing to hear of it. It's another thing to have it applied. It's another thing to feel that blood sprinkled. It's another thing to feel that you are at peace with God. To know you're forgiven. It's another thing to feel the sweetness of that sacrifice within. To consume the cakes. It's sweet to the taste. This Melchizedek has an offering. He brings forth bread and wine. He says, take it. Eat ye all of it. He says, drink. This is the blood of my covenant. This was shed for the salvation of many. This was shed for you. I have redeemed you. I have made you to be the righteousness of God. And when you drink of that wine and eat of that bread, you will know that they are both sweet to the taste and bring overwhelming, everlasting, endless grace, peace and joy in Jesus Christ. This Melchizedek. Amen.